So that hymn, it's so earthy. I mean, I know earth and all stars, right? But John Updike's fifth stanza talks about the vast rock of materiality, that there's a materiality to God's whole plan. His plan of creation and his plan of salvation has material in it. And so Earth and All Stars is this great hymn about just remembering that all these things in the world, this materiality, is made by God, created by God, made to praise him. But now imagine that the world is coming to an end soon, and you know it. The horizon is blowing up and buildings are collapsing. It's the kind of things that in the movies are generate, you know, computer-generated graphic kind of stuff. The world is about to end. Imagine it. That's how I started, and then I said to the confirmants at 8 o'clock, I know, really uplifting for your confirmation day, isn't that, to imagine the world ending? But it might be that this image came to my mind because last week I saw the Avengers Endgame and the whole world destruction. No spoilers here, though, okay? But anyways, imagine it. The world ending, it's rippling across the horizon, but it's a movie, and you're in the movie. And according to the rules of these kinds of movies, you have certain options. Okay, the world's collapsing in on itself. You're aware of it. You have a few options in movies. The first option is you take that moment and you kiss the girl, you kiss the guy that you've always wanted to. And we all knew it through the whole movie. We're like, just how long until they kiss? And so you know, you just take that moment. The world's about to end, honey, right? But in that case, everything collapses. But then you wake up holding each other in the rubble and the world isn't over, the world isn't over, at least for you, and you go on and you have a wonderful life, roll the credits. Or number two, world is collapsing in on itself, your option is to run around like a chicken with its head cut off, right? There's panic, there's hysteria, there's like, you know, people fighting each other, and it's just, you know, it's a movie of just complete disaster. It's a very dark ending on that movie. Or there's a third option. The world is caving in, and you stand up and fight, even though there's no chance of succeeding. But you're not going to go down without a fight. And in this case, you somehow realize that that little handgun that you found somehow can kill Godzilla. It's amazing, and you save the world. That's a great ending. But what if there was another option? What if there's another option, one that kind of goes against all these Hollywood rules? The world's ending, the horizon's blowing up. And what if you're in this movie and you just patiently waited? You just sat down calmly. You kind of, you know, it's like an on-screen rebellion, you know, that you're supposed to either kiss the girl, you know, run around like a crazy man, person, and or, you know, you're supposed to fight back. And there you are, you just sit down calmly, rebelling. But you sit down calmly because you know how this movie ends. And so you're calm. And then what if you started inviting others to sit down with you? The people who are about to kiss, you say, well, why don't you just sit down? That relationship wasn't going to work anyways. And you try to get the hysterical people to sit down and just kind of calm down. And the guy with the handgun, that really is more like a squirt gun compared to the destructive forces going on, you get him to calm down, set down the gun. You invite them all to sit down with you, patiently remaining calm, and you tell them how the movie ends. And you tell them that the movie is going to end, and they're going to be just fine. It's on-screen rebellion. But you don't care, because this has become your mission, to reveal the ending of the movie and this ending that is hopeful. Now imagine that we're not talking about a movie. Imagine what we're talking about with the world ending is we're talking about the stone slowly rolled to close your tomb. It's what John Updike is writing there in the fifth stanza, the vast rock of materiality that in the slow grinding of time will eclipse for each of us the wide light of day. John Updike's fifth stanza moves from saying that the stone rolled away from the tomb of Jesus. It was a real stone. I mean, Updike's been saying this throughout the whole poem. Jesus really died. He really rose from the dead. And he's saying it wasn't just a pretend stone. It was a real stone that miraculously was rolled back so that Jesus could rise from the dead. And then he shifts in this fifth stanza to say, and that real rock, that vast rock of materiality will also close for us. Death also comes for us. The stone is rolling to close the tomb, an end of the world for each of us. And you have all the movie options knowing this. I mean, we come together. We didn't even have to come to church to know, to look around the world and know that death will eventually come for us unless Christ returns before that time. But you know this. The stone is rolling, and you have all the movie options. You can go for a quick kiss. You can run, be like a chicken with your head cut off. You can stand and bravely fight worthlessly. Or you have that option that doesn't work in the Hollywood formula. You can sit down patiently, calmly, wait, endure, hang out, hope, remain, and invite others to do the same. Because you know how this movie ends. You know how this movie ends, and so we sit here calmly. We can get together and remember that the world will fall apart in destruction at the end, but we can be calm, confident in the face of death and world destruction, and calm in the face of our tomb closing. How can we do that? Well, I reminded everybody they didn't have to go to confirmation in order to know that the answer is Jesus, right? I mean, how can we be confident in the face of death? You know that the preacher's going to eventually just point to Jesus because that's the right answer, right? But seriously, though, like, how do we go about remaining calm and patient, trusting in Jesus and his promise of eternal life? And to do that in the face of all kinds of sufferings and fears and anxieties and unknowns and ends and a closing tomb, how do we go about remaining calm? Speaking of that calm faith, three of our confirmands wrote faith stories. You've got the yellow booklet you can take home today and read their stories later. Three of our confirmands wrote about a grandfather dying and how knowing that the grandfather believed in Jesus helps them to remain hopeful about eternal life. It's a patiently waiting. And the other confirmand, she wrote about appreciating each day, thankful for what God gives us, which is another version of patiently waiting. Because it's hard to appreciate the day or the little things in our lives if you give in to mass hysteria. So all this patiently waiting, what helps us to stay in that patient, calm, enduring waiting? Well, it's the hope that we have in God's Word. And today, you have this grand example in Revelation 21. Would you open your bulletins to Revelation 21? You have this grand example of seeing the hope of God, even though you're still very aware of the chaos and destruction around us. I like to think of Revelation 21 as a scene projected on a glass panel. And this isn't a CSI or, you know, some other show where I had the technology to do that, so you'll just have to imagine. So here's the glass panel, and projected on this glass panel is the scene in Revelation 21. It's a new heaven and a new earth, and the new city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. A new place for us to live, to dwell with God forever in this place beyond imagination. It's projected on this glass panel. But the important thing about it being a glass panel is that you can still see through it. And so we look out at the world and we see this hope that God gives to us for eternal life. We see this beautiful vision that God gives to us about eternal life, but we can see also what's going on around us. We see the world through the vision of Revelation 21. We see the world, we see our lives through that vision. We are not living without hope. We see what God has given us to see about how this movie ends, that we will live together with Jesus for eternity. It's this glorious vision beyond what we can imagine. I mean, a life without tears, without death, without mourning, sadness, grief, no crying, no pain. It's this beautiful life with God in a beautifully new earth. It's beyond what we can imagine. And it's definitely beyond what we see on a regular basis in this world. But Revelation 21, St. John's vision from God, holds it up for us to see superimposed over what we see in this world. So that while you still see pain and chaos and hurt and death around you and in your own life, still you view all of that through this certain hope. That in Jesus we will live again. He will raise us from the dead. The stone of our tomb may roll close, but we will remain calm, endure, wait, stay patient, take the option that the movies don't give you, and we will invite each other to sit down and stay calm in the face of death. That's what we're doing here together. We're waiting together. We're hopeful together. We remain calm together, and we invite others to do the same. We tell others about Jesus and his gospel. It's inviting people to sit down in the face of the end of the world. It's letting people know that they do not need to become hysterical or fight back foolishly. It's helping them to know the end of the movie. And so we see through God's word, it's like seeing that glass panel. It's seeing St. John's vision of the new earth and the future with Jesus. Still aware of what's going on around us, but we see this vision. We sit calmly. We wait together. We rejoice in this beautiful vision of hope. So we see the vast rock of materiality that in the slow grinding of time will eclipse for each of us the wide light of day. But we also see, we also know, we also believe that the stone was rolled back. Jesus conquered that real stone, conquered the real death, so that one day he will also roll back the stone for us. And the wide light of day, Jesus, the light of the world, will shine a new day for us forever. That vision is superimposed over your life, so that you see your life and your times through that vision of hope. Amen.